a month, the mayor of Sioux Falls drops in. Sioux Falls Mayor Mike Huther is here for the entire hour. Mr. Mayor, welcome back. How are you?
Greg, hey, it's good to be back on Kello. Really appreciate the opportunity and feeling good. I did something really stupid. Kello listeners, we were just talking a little bit. About 3 weeks ago, I'm taking my snowblower to Dave's Small Engine Repair. I shouldn't have probably done that plug. Sorry, but maybe Dave will be happy. And I'm taking the snowblower out of my man Mike truck. And Dave's on one side, I'm on the other. We're kind of at a funky angle. And all of a sudden, I screwed up my pelvis and my hip and my back. And so I've been 3.5 weeks trying to get my body back. And I don't know what happened. When I turned 40, my body just reacted differently. And now that I'm over 50... And I'm not going to tell you how much older. Nothing heals. It's
right.
Crazy.
Those problems multiply geometrically as you get older.
You know, then I go to my chiropractor. He goes, well, Mayor Mike, it's the pelvis, which is impacting your back, which is impacting your head, which is impacting your neck. And I'm going, what are you talking about? I'm feeling good.
But it's keeping you off the tennis court.
It is. I've not played tennis now for 3.5 weeks and... but I'll be back, baby. I will. And I was really playing good. I was probably playing the best tennis I had played maybe in my entire life right before the injury. But it is what it is. I'm alive. I'm taking the day that I'm given and trying to make good stuff happen.
This is why I refuse to do physical labor. This is why I've hired movers to help me move this week because I don't want to be on the air.
God. I'm telling you, it takes one little split second thing, and it can change your life. My mom, Diane, I'll never forget it. It was about 4 years ago. She was just coming out of church, and she fell on a step coming out of church, and it really changed her life. And so, again, I'm a control guy. I want to manage things. I want to make sure that, I can do this and do that, but it's all in God's hands, what's going to happen, and you can't control it. You just make the most of it. And when bad things do happen, like this pelvis thing that I got going on, you just try to, work with good folks and make it better. And mine will get better, too.
Sioux Falls Mayor Mike Huther is here, and as always, he's here for the hour. So if you've got a question, you've got a comment for the mayor, we invite you to call in. 336-1320 is our phone number, 336-1320, 1-800-228-4435. All right, let's start with a hot one. I'm going to put you right on the hot seat, right out of the gate.
Go.
Because utility rates are probably one of the hottest topics. Yeah. There are a number of them, but one of the hottest things right now. Proposed 18% over a three-year period.
Yes.
We had Public Works Director Mark Cotter came in last week and talked about the repairs and what's needed and the reason his department is asking for the increase. I want to get your thoughts on all that.
Well, first of all, Sioux Falls listeners, we do not just raise rates to raise them. We really are methodical in the approach. We don't want to overcharge. We want to do this the right way. But now let me say something that'll probably make some folks mad. And that is, I'll tell you, it doesn't take a lot of leadership at all not to raise rates. It doesn't take much leadership at all just to leave things the way that they are. We are in a situation where you not only have to focus on the things that are above ground, that you can see, those kind of sexy things like a new event center or the Washington Pavilion, which is a lot of fun, or the River Greenway, or even the roads. You also have to tackle those things that are underground, too. And we have a responsibility to the citizens, and that is to make sure that we've got adequate funds to repair, rebuild, and replace this infrastructure in our city. And, I don't know if you remember, I was elected mayor, and it was about a month after I was elected mayor.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
And I get this dang call coming down Western Avenue, and here we've got this major sanitary sewer line that had collapsed up by the prison. Folks, we had 25,000 homes in the city of Sioux Falls that were going to have raw sewage in their basement. That was the deal. And we got through that. We didn't have 25,000 because of some things that we did to alleviate that. But we soon after started to take pictures of all of these sewer lines, of all these water lines, and what we found was not pretty. was not pretty. We had these very, very old pipes that were underground, and they were deteriorating at a rate that was not good. And we had more risk than just that one sewer line up by the prison. And that's why we have to raise funds to repair, rebuild, and replace this infrastructure. And it's not just the stuff you can see, but the stuff that you can't see. And we're not doing it willy-nilly either. We're not just generating money just to generate it. We are going to use it for the best use possible.
Talk about the enterprise fund, because I think people look at, we got this enterprise fund, large amount of dollars that are allocated in that enterprise fund. Why do we have to raise rates?
Well, we're running it like a business. We do. We run these enterprise funds like a business. We've got expenses that we've got to cover, and we've got revenues that need to cover it. And that's what we do. These utilities, they are run like a business, and that it is an enterprise fund. That's how we pay for these things. There were a couple of folks that were running for council. In fact, a couple of them have been elected for council that were saying, well, you know what, we're using sales tax dollars, or we used to use sales tax dollars to cover these things. Well, that's not true. We use these enterprise funds to cover it. And again,
a little bit of background, because sure. I want to make certain I understand this. Sure. My understanding from Mark is that the enterprise funds were created with the idea then that each of those would generate, for instance, when we talk about public works, that enterprise fund then generating revenues to be used for roads.
To be used.
Is that right?
To be used for the specific purpose that those funds are generated. So in this case, we've got an enterprise fund that covers these particular utilities. Well, those funds go to repair, rebuild, replace, maintain, improve that specific infrastructure. And that's what Mark and his team is doing. And one of the things that I will commend this council for, okay, and again, it takes leadership. 6 years ago, when I started working with this council, we saw a variety of different entities where the expenses were not being covered by adequate revenues. And it was a freight train that was coming our way if we didn't do something. Well, we went to the council. We educated them on this topic. We said, here are some prudent and responsible ways to generate increased revenues. Yes, it would have to be on the backs of the taxpayers. They would have to pay for it. And this council, these women and these men, they raised rates. And you can't imagine how much grief you're going to take whenever you do that. But I think they did it on behalf of the citizens that they serve in a very prudent and responsible way.
How do you balance that? Because you got the enterprise fund there, also with rates. I mean, does the fund gets to a certain point, obviously you're worried about it dropping too low. How do you make that decision as to when you raise rates?
Well, you're looking at your repair needs, your maintenance needs, your growth needs, and you basically build a plan. And in this case, it's a 5-year plan, and you're trying to evaluate, okay, here's the expenses that we're going to have over these 5 years, and now how do we prudently generate enough revenues to cover that? And it's not just the 5 years. I mean, Mark is looking out 10, 15, 20 years from now as well. And so that's what we do. And again, you do it prudently as best you can, knowing full well that whenever you do it, you're going to take your fair shot in terms of people that are going to be furious with you. But, you know, I've talked about this on Kelloland Radio many, many times. Folks, let's just go north of Sioux Falls and look at some of the roads that we have in northern South Dakota. We've got roads that used to be, you know, blacktop oil roads. Well, then what happened is that they started to get a couple potholes in it. And then those counties and those towns around there said, well, we got to generate some funds to cover it. They didn't do it. Then all of a sudden, those blacktop roads started to deteriorate even more. And then they became gravel roads. And now all of a sudden, they're mud roads. And what do we've got? We've got a situation where we've got farmers that are, you know, they got soybeans that have done well. They've got corn that have done well. They've got cattle that they got to get to market. They got swine that they got to get to market. And what happens is that they can't drive on those roads anymore because they didn't maintain them in the appropriate fashion. We do not want that to happen in the city of Sioux Falls with anything, whether it be the roads above the ground or whether it be the sewer lines or the water lines or the utilities that we have below the ground, too.
Sioux Falls Mayor Mike Huther is here. 336-1320 is our number. John, thanks for waiting. Good morning. You're on Kello.
Morning, John.
Good morning, Mike. Good morning, Greg. Say, I got a question on the Sioux River.
Yes.
I don't know if you've seen the report. I know I have. A lot of people have about from the School of Mines and how polluted the river is. They even go to the degree of saying that it's not safe for any recreational use such as kayaking or canoeing.
Yes, sir, John. Yep.
And, well, I got two questions for it. Number one is, how are we approaching it? What are we doing about it? Number two is, if there's legitimacy to that report, why aren't there signs warning people that are using it for recreational use, such as at Del Rapids and Baltic and Flandreau and the Spillway and Sioux Falls and so on and so forth?
John, first of all, good job. First of all, it's a very legitimate report, and this is not a new topic, John. The Big Sioux River has been an impaired body of water for a long, long time. Now it is actually getting better than what it has been, but it is still impaired. What we've done, John, is we've been trying to bring attention to this not only with the citizens of Sioux Falls since I've been the mayor, but it's been a hot topic statewide as well. And in fact, one of the things that I've done is we've got the mayor's Big Sioux River summit that we've done not only here in Sioux Falls, but we took it on the road to Brookings last year. Again, all in the spirit of there's all these towns, there's all these cities, there's all these farmers, there's all these ranchers that we do impact the Big Sioux River in our own ways. And so right now, John, we're trying to bring attention to it. We are trying to do things like create buffer zones between cattle feeding operations and the river or the tributaries. We've got cities and towns that are looking at all the ways that they pollute the water. We are bringing attention to it. Now, to your specific question, and I think it's legit, it is, okay, if it is impaired, why don't we put signs up saying, hey, this is an impaired body of water? We do work with the state. We work with, other entities, and it's not at the point where, you can't kayak on it or you can't canoe on it. Now, do we recommend swimming in it? You don't recommend it, but it's not to the point where you, you tell people you got to stay out of it, or you're going to get really, really sick. I mean, to be honest with you, John, we've got lakes in our state that are pretty impaired, too. But we've got people that are swimming in them, and we've been doing that for a long, long time in South Dakota.
Yeah, I understand. I just, I'd like them to go further with the report. Is fish consumption fine out of the river, or are we letting people fish and eat the fish, and they shouldn't be?
No, there's if we couldn't eat the fish out of the river, we'd be told so. I mean, people are fishing out of the river. We always have. We've got it going right through the heart of our town. We've got canoe access points now that we've built with the River Greenway
right. And
other locations. So no, we are trying to still make it better, but we still have some work to do. That's for sure, John. And no, I commend you for bringing it to the attention. I think the more and more that we talk about this, the better odds we'll have that we'll make it better. And one thing too, let me leave you with this thought. This isn't, we can't just blame the farmers and the ranchers for the Big Sioux River and its condition. We have to look at the towns and the cities that are along the Big Sioux River too, and we all have a part to play in terms of what's causing it harm, and we all have a part to play in terms of let's improving it as well.
Well, and John, thank you for your phone call. To bring it back to what you and I were talking about a moment ago with our sewer and breakdown sewage lines, the city has found itself in the unfortunate position of having to discharge in that situation that you were talking about. Discharge raw sewage directly into the river.
John, I don't know if you were here in Sioux Falls back when I was first elected mayor. I had to make a decision along with the help of Mark Cotter and others. John, listen to this, and you folks are going to be sickened by it, but this is reality. We took one third of the raw sewage of this city, one third of it, one out of every three flushing of the toilets, and we dumped it directly into the Big Sioux River for a period of time. And the reason we did that is because we had a choice: either do that or have that go into 25,000 homes right in central South Dakota, or in central Sioux Falls. And we had folks downstream that were mad. I remember they canceled a fishing tournament down in Iowa because of what we did here in Sioux Falls. And if you don't think that weighs on my mind, you're sadly mistaken, because I am I'm a fisherman. I'm a wildlife guy. I'm a water guy. I want to do the right thing. But that was one of the things, Sioux Falls. We had such bad situation with our pipes that we ended up causing that disturbance, not only for Sioux Falls, but for people downstream as well. And I don't want it to happen again, and neither is Mark Cotter, and that's one of the reasons why we have to raise utility rates.
Well, and that's the reason I bring it up, because the work that you're talking about is designed to prevent situations like that from happening again.
And we've been investing money in record levels over that last 6 years. I mean, it's kind of the wake-up call that Sioux Falls needed, you know. Sadly, we kind of always wait until it's too late. And then all of a sudden, then we pay attention. In Sioux Falls, we don't want to do that. I don't want to leave this city with a situation where we're going to be at risk. And so that is why we are aggressively going after these water lines and sewer lines underground to repair them, rebuild them, and replace them, so that we don't have to dump one-third of our raw, you know, the sewage right into the Big Sioux River again.
Let's bring it back to talk about the Big Sioux. What kinds of things are the city doing? Obviously, as you said, a lot of communities, a lot of counties, there's a lot of other people impacting the Big Sioux. But what are we doing here in Sioux Falls to try to address that?
Well, I love the partnership that we have with the DNR, with other, you know, wildlife organizations, with the state of South Dakota, and yes, communities along the Big Sioux River and farmers and ranchers. We are having this dialogue. We are actually investing money into buffer strips right along the creek beds that we have, along with the Big Sioux River. We're actually going to be making an announcement here real soon, where we're going to start to have more filtering or filter strips right along the Big Sioux River in the city of Sioux Falls. And that's going to be unpopular in some cases, because guess what we're going to do, Sioux Falls? We're not going to mow these buffer strips. And people are going to go, that looks like crap, Mayor. You know, why aren't you mowing this? We love the freshly mowed grass, and we're not going to do it. And we are going to put some signs up that explain to the people of Sioux Falls, this is a buffer strip. This naturally filters the water before it goes into that river. Not only do we want to do it here in Sioux Falls, but we'd like farmers and ranchers and communities to do it all along the Big Sioux River, all in the spirit of improving that body of water that John cares about and that I care about. I mean, there's more to do. You know, we have to hold industry accountable to make sure that they're not dumping stuff that's not appropriate into the Big Sioux River, and so much more. I fertilized my lawn a week ago. I did. And I put my edge guard on, my Scott's edge guard on, and guess what? There was still fertilizer that went into that curb and gutter. And I did my best to get it out. But guess what? We had an inch 80 just the other day at my home. An inch 80 of rain. It came down like craziness.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you some of that fertilizer went into the to the storm drainage, and then guess where it went? Directly into the Big Sioux River.
And some people don't understand that when we talk about water that's picked up, rainfall, that kind of thing, it goes directly into the river.
And Kello listeners, you're going to get mad at me again, and here we go. I drive around the city of Sioux Falls more than probably anybody, and I'm paid pretty. I love this town. I actually see people that are dumping their refuse into their curb, and what they'll do is I've actually seen them rake their lawns into the curb, and what they don't understand is that all that stuff goes into the storm drains, and then it goes directly into the Big Sioux River. And in some cases, it gets clogged in those storms, and then we got to clean it out. But all this stuff that we're putting into those curbs and those gutters, and we wait for the city to clean them out, All that stuff is going into that Big Sioux River that John cares about a lot, including, you know, we have people that walk their dogs and they don't pick up after them. And guess where that crap goes?
Right.
That crap goes right into the Big Sioux River, too.
It's not, you know, when we talk about the wastewater from our homes, all that stuff's treated.
It goes out
to the water plant. It's treated. But when you're talking about the storm sewers, it goes directly into the river.
Good job, Greg. And I love this program because this is stuff that I don't know if people understand it. But that is why I talk about, folks, don't wait for the street sweepers to come by to clean your curb and gutter. Do it on your own. You know, first of all, it makes your town look so much better, but also it keeps that stuff out of those storm drains that the city has to ultimately take care of. So, yeah, look what John just got us talking about, but I love it. I love it. That's important stuff.
Absolutely.
And Sioux Falls, here's another one for you. Our number one source of drinking water is the Big Sioux River.
Right.
It is. It's the Big Sioux River. It's those wells that are fed by the Big Sioux River and others. That is one of our primary sources of drinking water. Now, again, we treat it, and it's great water. It is. But that's why we got to start talking about this stuff and caring about it and taking 10 minutes to clean our curb and gutter. And things like that. So I just love it. And we all play a part in it. You know, it seems small. It's almost like the vote the other day. You know, we had 11% of the people vote.
Right.
And one single vote makes a difference. One single person cleaning their curb and gutter makes a difference. One commercial lawn guy that takes the time to focus on where they're spreading that fertilizer commercially. And I've seen them do that, too. They've got these monster fertilizing things, and it just sprays all over, and it's out 4 feet onto the street, and then they go on to the next job. All that phosphorus, all that fertilizer, all those nutrients that we use for our grass, well, if it doesn't hit the grass, it goes into our Big Sioux, and then that impacts our fish, it impacts our wildlife, it impacts our water quality for not only Sioux Falls, but for people downstream, too.
David's been waiting on the line. David, we're running short on time. David, I'm going to have you ask your question. Mayor will get your answer coming up.
Thanks, David.
David,
that's very, very good. Thank you. And I'll hang up and listen to the response. I hate to land on you, Mr. Mayor.
No.
You've done a great job, but I am going to bring up this drug problem.
Very good.
I program late. Maybe you've already addressed it. But we have a really serious drug problem in Sioux Falls.
We do.
And the remnants of it are, or the evidence probably that impacts most people, is we've had a tremendous rise in garage burglaries,
yep.
home burglaries, etc.
Yep.
And I'm just wondering, you know, how serious is anybody about it? I've even named names to the police department. But these guys right here, they're dealing drugs. And they said, well, we'll look into it.
David, can I have you stay on? Don't leave me. Can you stay on after the break? Let's talk about it. This is a good topic.
It is, absolutely. David, hold on the line, and we'll get to you coming up. Sioux Falls Mayor Mike Huther is here. Sioux Falls Mayor Mike Huther is here. He's here for the full hour and taking your questions, and we got a call right before the break from David, who has stayed on the line. David, thanks. I'm going to have you pose your question and your concern again, David.
Okay, thank you.
Good job, David.
And I want to preface this again. I'm not just complaining. I appreciate all the good work you've done, Mr. Mayor, but we do have a drug problem in Sioux Falls, and it is growing. It appears to be growing. It's pretty big. And the problem that most people face with it is that there's a lot of home burglaries, home invasions, and garage burglaries. And it's costing all of us a lot of money. You can hardly even lock up your house and feel like it's going to be safe because somebody might break in while you're at work. I've tried to, try to get the police to do a little more with it. They do a good job, and I'm real happy with the police department in Sioux Falls. But I just want to know, as mayor, what are you doing to address this, and what help do you need to address it?
Good job, David. Well, first of all, I agree with you. There is a drug problem in Sioux Falls, but I need to caveat that. David, there's a drug problem in Sioux Falls, but there's a drug problem in every town, in every city, in every state in America. There is. And it's basically, when you look at crimes that occur in the city of Sioux Falls, there's three reasons for that crime. In the olden days, it used to be, okay, it's a, you know, it's the economy that's causing the turmoil. Well, folks, in Sioux Falls, the economy can't be any better than what it is. Basically, you've got three major reasons that are causing some of the bulk of the crime in Sioux Falls. It's drugs, as David talked about. It is drinking or alcohol, and it is mental illness. Those three things are driving the bulk of the crimes in our city. But David wanted to talk about drugs, so let's talk about that. To be more specific, if you want to, the drug of choice right now, and I hate saying it like that, but it is, it's meth. Meth is one of our greatest challenges. And then you also have things like prescription drugs that people are abusing. And what's happening is that these people, they get hooked so quickly on this that they need to feed that that appetite for that drug. And it's expensive. And so what do they do? As David says, they do things like they'll go, you know, check out people's garages, and those that are unlocked, they'll go in there and try to ransack through there until they find something they can sell to somebody so they can feed that drug habit. I want to touch on something, David. I feel your passion, but we don't get a lot of folks that are busting into locked homes. We don't have that. Now, we do have people that are certainly going around trying to find unlocked garage doors, and they're finding success here in Sioux Falls. There's still a lot of people that don't lock their doors. They don't lock their doors to their cars. They don't lock their doors to their garages. They don't lock their doors to their homes. I've never understood that, but they still don't. And then they wonder how that burglar got in so easy. So here's David asked me, all right, Mayor, what are you doing to fix this? And David, I feel ultimately responsible every dang time something bad happens in this city. I do. I take it to heart, and it drives me nuts. And I don't sleep as well because of it. Here's what I'm doing as your mayor. Number one, I've never hesitate talking about it, because I think that we do have to talk about this as a town. And I always encourage people, hey, folks, if you want to rely just solely on the police department to solve all the crime in this town, you've got another thing coming. We are all responsible. I need 173,300 people looking out for everybody else. If someone's garage door is left open at 9 o'clock at night, dang it, walk across the street and tell them to shut their dang garage door. Folks, turn on your lights in your front, turn on your lights. Lock your doors. If you see something that looks funny, it smells funny, it feels funny, the odds are good, it's funny, and it's stinky. So make a call to us. We will investigate this stuff. David, as your mayor, and yes, I'm going to give credit to the city council too, we have been hiring police officers, not at a rate just to maintain where we're at, but also to keep up with growth as well. We've been investing in men and women of our police team. We've been investing in training. We've been investing in equipment. We've been investing in the latest technology. We've been doing all these things to stay one step ahead of these idiots, of these morons that are making these bad things happen in our town. And then, David, I know it's frustrating when some bad neighbor does something wrong, but I'll also say this. We've got one of the highest rates of catching these people than anyone in the country. And I've said this. If you do the crime in Sioux Falls, the odds are good you're going to do the time in Sioux Falls. But that's more reactionary, David. It is, you know, we catch these people after they do the crime. Sadly, you want me to stop it from happening in the beginning. And I have to go back to that very first topic. And I'm not giving up, David. And you've been very kind to me. I'm not giving up, and we are not giving up. But you have to understand something, Sioux Falls. I told you the three major reasons for crime in this town. Drugs, alcohol, and mental illness. And drugs, alcohol, and mental illness, they've been around way before God brought me on this earth. And they're going to be around long after God takes me. And we've just got to find a way to keep tackling this. And right now, you know, the war on drugs has been a complete bomb. Alcohol, that's not going away anytime soon. You know, it's just not. And mental illness, the way that we help people with mental illness is worse now than what it was years ago, because we basically have taken the beds and we've now taken these people that we used to go into treatment facilities. Now we're putting them on the street and we kind of mainstream them in hopes that that takes care of it. Well, guess what? You know what our number one source of taking care of people with mental illness right now? The county jail. That's it. Does that make sense? No. But, David, again, I'm a positive guy. I am. I take the day and I want to tackle these things. And so I don't want to leave you feeling negative that we're giving up. But I'm also a realist. And that is, you know, we've got to work together as a team, all of us in this town, to look out for each other, not tolerate bad neighbors. Let's hold them accountable. And if you need the police or the court enforcement team or whatever it would be to get involved, let us know.
David, thanks a lot for your call and your patience. Very much appreciated. Let me follow up with you on this, because Sioux Falls Police, we had the story just last week. Police were talking about the number of, you know, vehicle thefts that have occurred, and largely due to people not only leaving their cars unlocked, but oftentimes with the keys inside the car. And there's a video that some may have seen. T Storm Chasers, I know, had it on social media. There was a surveillance video purportedly from here in town where you see a band of about a half dozen hooligans going around, car to car, checking each and every car on the street. People have got to lock their stuff.
They do. And this isn't just a Sioux Falls problem again. And again, I don't want to minimize it. I don't. I'm not minimizing this, okay? I am your mayor. I'm proud of this town. There are a lot of great things going on, but we also have to deal with the challenges that we face, too. But Greg's exactly right. Sioux Falls, we are living in a time that is different than what it was 40 years ago or 30 years ago. We do have to lock our cars. We can't leave them running in the wintertime just because we want them warm. We do have to lock our garage doors. We should turn on our lights. We do have to trim our bushes in the front of our yards so that, you know, it doesn't provide a good hiding place for people. And again, we do have to realize we've got these people out there that are really they're bad neighbors, and we're going to have to deal with them. You know, I've had people on this show. They've said, Mayor, you know, we are growing, things are going very well, but, you know, some of us would like it to go back to the way that it used to be. Well, that's not going to happen. We've got 3,000 to 4,000 people moving into the city every year, and sadly, not all of them are good neighbors. In fact, some of them are complete idiots and complete morons and want to do nothing but just hurt the people of this city. And yes, there's some that are looking for a hand up and some that are looking for a hand out. They come here because of the great care and help that we do provide, but not all of them take that goodness that we provide and then make their lives better. In fact, some of them just go out and do bad things. But this is not a new problem. It's something that we're going to continue to work on and continue to deal with. And in the city of Sioux Falls, David, and people of Kello that are listening, we will stay one step ahead of this. We will.
Well, and this is not in any way to let the city off the hook, but when it comes to crime, not that the city isn't aggressive in these areas. I think the city is. Police can only be in so many places.
That's right.
And the thing about crime is criminals are always, and we see it in this town, what are they choosing? They're choosing the easiest target.
That's right.
So I think all of us have a responsibility to be the harder target.
That's right.
You know, to lock our house, lock our cars, make sure we're not leaving the keys in the ignition or the car running. Those are things that we can do to protect ourselves.
Exactly. And Sioux Falls, here's one thing too that we can do. And I think as your mayor, you've seen that I've got no patience for this. We need to hold the bad neighbors accountable. We do. We do. It's just the way that it is. 'Cause if you tolerate this stupid behavior, then what happens is that, okay, if I can get away with this, then I'm going to try this. And then they get away with that, and now they're going to try this. Don't allow it. Don't allow it. Keep your eyes, keep your ears to the grindstone. Let's find these bad neighbors. Let's hold them accountable and say, we're not going to tolerate that crap here in Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Let me follow up on David's point just a little bit, because it seems like, especially the last few weeks, shots fired, yeah. People firing in the air. Yeah. We had a homicide on Friday with That's this right. guy now, you know, manhunt going on. And you look at this town and you know, I'm a lifelong resident. This is my hometown. Yeah. I love it here. Obviously, the city's changed. I mean, how do you feel as you see these things happen?
Well, and I always want to be careful when I say the city changes. Now, we are growing. A lot of good things going on. And again, you've got people that are coming in here that are not the type of people that we want here or that are going to do bad things. But again, until we fully address things like alcohol abuse or drug abuse or mental illness, the changes that you see in Sioux Falls are the same changes that are happening all across America. And I think that as a society, we're going to have to figure out how much are we going to allow this to continue to change, not only in a good way, but also in a bad way. And these are really, really difficult decisions that we're going to have as a society. You know, how are we going to deal with people that have mental illness? How are we going to deal with people, you know, that are dealing drugs or using drugs? You know, how are we going to deal with people that are dealing with alcoholism and stuff like that? And as a society, we're going to have to figure that out. But it's not going away. And I'm not going to fix it during my term. I'm not. And in fact, it's not going to be fixed after God takes me. It's not. We're going to be dealing with this as a society for a long, long time, probably forever. But it doesn't mean that we should give up. And I think the first step is, as a society here in Sioux Falls, we're only going to tolerate so much. And let's keep these. Let's hold people accountable in the smallest way. And again, we're going to start from the beginning, folks. Let's mow our dang lawns. Let's shovel our sidewalks. Let's hold bad neighbors accountable. Let's look out for each other. And let's make a positive difference with the days that we've been given. And I think that you're going to find Sioux Falls will still be the best city in America to live in.
Sioux Falls Mayor Mike Huther is here. Just a couple of minutes left. Just had a recent election, yeah. As you mentioned, Mayor, about 11% turnout for a combined city school board election and new council members that will be seated here soon.
Well, first of all, I want to congratulate those folks that won. I'm looking forward to serving with you. We're not going to agree all the time. That's for dang sure. But I do commend them for serving. I also commend those people that ran for office that lost. I mean, what a sacrifice on their behalf to put their own reputations on the line and their families on the line in the spirit of serving. I want to commend them. And then, you know, I'm probably not going to have this opportunity for 30 days, so I might as well do it now. You know, I've had the pleasure of serving with some people now for 6 years, and four of them are going off the council. You know, Councillor Jameson, Councillor Staggers, Councillor Anderson Jr., Councillor Karski. I've served with these men for 4 years, and it's been a battle royal sometimes, especially when it comes to Councillor Anderson or Councillor Staggers and Councillor Jameson. Certainly, we've disagreed probably more than we've agreed. But yet again, I commend him for serving. And then people like Councillor Anderson Jr. and Councillor Karski. Folks, guess what? You wouldn't have an event center if it weren't for Councillor Karski and Councillor Anderson Jr. You wouldn't have an indoor pool if it wasn't for Councillor Karski and Councillor Anderson Jr. You wouldn't have Snowgate tests if it wasn't for Councillor Karski, Councillor Anderson Jr. You know, these are folks that they've taken the tough stands, and ultimately I think we've moved this city forward. You know, we've got the city services building that we just have been debating. And it was a 4-4 vote, and I got to break the tie. And in my mind, it moves us one step closer to capturing something that we've been talking about since 2007. And it's these tough things that you work on in concert. You fight like cats and dogs sometimes, but ultimately you find common ground, you compromise, and you get crap done in government. I mean, my God, what a concept.
Sioux Falls Mayor Mike Huether, always a pleasure, Mayor. Thanks for making time for us. Much appreciated.
Nice to see you.
See you again next month.
Nice to see you. Thanks so much, Sioux Falls. Let's keep good things going. And remember, let's look out for each other. That's part of the gig. Let's do it.
So long until tomorrow, my friends, and may God bless.